Wednesday, July 19, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we talk sports every Wednesday, and we do our best to bring you something different. Instead of the trendy hot takes that sound great, they might get you to click on them, but they make no sense whatsoever. We try to actually look at how sports really work. We may look back at some sports history now and then. That's always kind of fun to do. And hopefully, we can make you smile once or twice every single week. There are a couple of ways that you can participate in the Daily Dose. You can go check out new articles. You can go see a link to the podcast every single week if you head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com. In fact, this week, the Daily Dose was able to break some news from down in Dallas. You know, there was a little bit of an incident that happened down in Dallas, and the Daily Dose was able to break some news about who the police might be looking for. You might want to head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com and check that out. If you've got a question, maybe you have a comment, you need some advice, you have something you would like to contribute to the show about any subject, hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com. That is D-A-L-Y, dailydosesports@gmail.com. Or you can find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear from you. We would love to get your thoughts. You know, we've got smart listeners here at the Daily Dose. We actually want to hear what you have to say. Today on the show, you know, we are actually going to be talking some baseball. I know. Yes, I guess that's breaking news. We're actually going to talk a little bit of baseball. You know, we're right around the midpoint of the Major League Baseball season, so we'll be taking a look at some of the best teams. Who are the contenders? Who are the top teams? Who are the pretenders in each league? NBA free agency is now slowing down. Which teams actually got better in free agency? And which teams are going to be a little bit worse next year? Plus, do you realize that NFL training camps will be starting later this month? And it's funny, because I'm not sure that there is a more important individual player in sports than the NFL quarterback. Yet, there are a number of teams around the league that are not set at that position. Today, we look at a few of the teams around the NFL that are going to need to make a very tough decision because they've got themselves a quarterback controversy. Plus, we do have a Daily Dose Top 5 this week that you do not want to miss. You always have to make sure that you stick around for that. First off, before we get going, are you watching the Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor press conferences that have been going on? They've been traveling around, trying to stir up some interest in their fight. And I know, there's going to be a lot of people tune in for that fight. I get it. I understand. I've seen some of the highlights. I haven't actually watched the full press conferences that have been going on. Let me go ahead and guess, though. Without watching the entire thing, let me guess. Conor McGregor probably saying some things that border on like racist things. And Floyd Mayweather is probably responding with some homophobic things. How close did I come? Am I close? Yeah, I think I'm close. Who could have possibly seen any of this coming? Oh yeah, anyone with a brain. I'm telling you. And we've been talking about it over the last few weeks. Please, please, please do not believe the hype of this fight. It's all fake. It is all scripted. It is all pre-written, and it is all staged to try to get people to buy in. Oh, did you see what he said? Oh, he's really going to beat him up now. Oh, did you hear what he said back? Oh, man, this could be such a good fight. No, it isn't. It's dumb. It feels like WWE. That's what it feels like, doesn't it? It feels like that fake stuff. I'll tell you what, brother. That's not how this stuff really works. It's all nonsense. It's all hype. Don't believe the hype. The reason it feels like WWE, again, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, acts like a duck, it's because it is a duck. If it feels like WWE, that's because that's what it is. And it's fake. Don't believe it. Okay. Look, I realize I'm not the biggest baseball fan. What? We've talked about it at length here on The Dose. In a four-hour game, there's maybe, I'm probably stretching this out, there's maybe 4 minutes of actual action in a baseball game. I struggle to stay awake. I won't lie. And it's not like, well, hey, Clint, you're getting old. That's why you're struggling to stay awake. No, it's been that way since I was born. It's a slow, slow game. It's like whittling a stick or fishing or something. I don't have the patience for it. I'm not geared that way. But, you know, this year, I have to say, I'm starting to come around a little bit. You know, coming off of a great postseason last year, we saw the Cubs beat the Indians. It was a crazy World Series. There was so much excitement. Baseball has gotten a little more interesting in 2017, hasn't it? Do you realize that Major League Baseball is cranking out home runs at an all-time rate? It's kind of funny because it was just like a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. They were talking. There was legitimate talk. Maybe we should ban the defensive shift because run scoring was so low. Now, in 2017, major league hitters are on pace to hit over 6,000 home runs. Just to give that a little perspective, the previous record was from back in 2000. Major league hitters hit 5,600 home runs. Remember 2000? Remember that year? Remember when Sammy Sosa was hitting 50 and Barry Bonds was hitting around 50 and like 57 other steroid-filled hitters were hitting right around 50? Everybody was hitting 50. We all hit 50 home runs. What's really going on in baseball? Okay, I realize they're playing with a super ball. But is it just the ball that's juiced? Because the ball is flying out at an alarming rate. And I know they say, well, you know, the ball's a little bit juiced. I realize they're playing with like a tennis ball or whatever it is that they're playing with. But we aren't going to see some like new synthetic steroid that hasn't been detected yet, are we? That would never happen again, would it? Because I remember back in the late 90s, early 2000s, we're all looking around like, man, all of a sudden these guys are really hitting the ball. It's kind of weird. And like they're huge. Like look at these guys. They changed their uniforms because they got so big. And everybody's like, eh, it's kind of weird. We're not seeing something that we're just not picking up yet, are we? Because that's kind of how it feels. These guys just suddenly in 1 year got really, really, really good. Are we being naive about baseball? That would never happen again, would it? I mean, far be it from baseball to try to blow up their statistics to get people to watch that outdated sport, right? Okay, let's go look at a few of the best teams, some contenders, and some pretenders. Over in the American League, it sure looks like the best team is the Houston Astros. It's a little bit boring, but they're just good everywhere. The biggest thing that looks different for Houston is the depth that they have on that roster. And that depth is everywhere. They've got pitching. Dallas Keuchel has missed some time. They have other guys step right up and produce. They have hitting. Houston has already scored over 530 runs. They're blowing people out. They're crushing people. Oh, and by the way, the Houston Astros, if you're waiting for kind of that collapse to come, yeah, they've got one of the easiest second half schedules in the American League. Houston is the big dog over the American League. They are the favorite to win it all. But let's look at a few contenders, because I suppose that you need to put the Cleveland Indians in that contender category, and that might not be a popular pick, but they are the defending champs, and they play their best baseball, for whatever reason, on the road. They still have a good pitching lineup. If they can just get healthy and kind of just get their game together, and they do have that experience that you want at crunch time, I'm going to put the Indians in as a contender. I don't know if they'll get it done, but at least keep an eye on the Cleveland Indians. We know that the Boston Red Sox have some bats. They've already scored nearly 450 runs this year, and it seems like they're getting their offense going as of late. The difference this year, Boston also has a little bit of pitching. Their 3.82 team ERA, top five in the league. We didn't expect that necessarily, did we? Now, the Red Sox don't have a third baseman, and they could use some help in the bullpen like almost everybody could, but I'll put the Red Sox as a contender. There is one downside. They're going to have a very, very tough schedule as the season wears on. Now let's look at some pretenders over in the AL. And I know it's not going to be popular, but I'm not sure that I completely buy the New York Yankees as a contender. Hey, I like Aaron Judge as much as the next guy, but that youth that they have, and they have some good young players, sometimes keeps them from winning some of those tough, crucial games. You know, they've scored nearly 500 runs, but they're just barely above a 500 team. Young, talented, but they may need a little more experience, or they need to grow up real fast and start winning some of those close games. And with their schedule coming down the stretch, it's going to get tougher. They're going to be facing some teams that know how to win and expect to win and expect to be in the postseason. Playing those experienced teams that know how to win could make things very, very tough on this young, talented group with the Yankees. I'm going to say the Yankees, a little bit of a pretender. I would say that I think the Tampa Bay Rays could be a contender if they could figure out how to generate some scoring. The problem with Tampa is that this franchise, it seems like, even though they're only like a few games out of leading the division, couldn't you just see them holding a fire sale and just getting rid of everything? Everything must go. We've got to sell it all. Couldn't you see them doing that? So I'm not buying Tampa Bay either. Baltimore Orioles, thought could be a contender. That pitching has turned into an absolute disaster. Baltimore making any sort of run right now, looking more and more like wishful thinking. Same goes for the Minnesota Twins. I'm just not sure you can count on their pitching to win crucial games as we get down the stretch. Best player over in the AL. I know he's young, but man, Aaron Judge is a freak, isn't he? Every single time he steps to the plate, he's a threat to completely change the game. He's already hit more than 30 home runs. And he's on pace to get close to that 60 homer mark. Yet you have to think just statistically. Don't the odds say he has to cool down a little bit? There's just way too much time left in this season. I know we kind of start looking a little more seriously around the 4th of July at how everything is shaping up in Major League Baseball. But there's still so much time for regression, for injuries, just for teams to wear out and fatigue, slumps that are going to be coming. Oh, and one more reason that I think Aaron Judge could slide a little bit in the second half of the season. It's got to be pressure. The games are going to start counting more and more. And crushing in June and even July is very, very different from doing it in September. Trust me, I'm a Colorado Rockies guy. I know. The games start to matter. The postseason gets tight. Aaron Judge has been an amazing story. At the halfway point, I will be very, very surprised if he's still playing at this level as we come down the stretch. Let's shift over to the National League. Best team in the National League. Yeah, I'll say that the Los Angeles Dodgers are the best team in the NL, and I'm also going to say it's not really that close. Yeah, I guess I could mention the Washington Nationals, and I'll talk about them in just a minute, but I think we all know how that's going to end up, don't we? I think we already know what's going to happen with Washington. Anyways, right now, the Dodgers are kind of like that really hot girl. You're looking at her, and you're like, that's a really good-looking girl. She's got to have some flaws, though, doesn't she? But not only is she hot, she kind of seems like she has a decent personality, too. Like, what can't Los Angeles do? Of course they have pitching. Clayton Kershaw is dealing again. He looks like he's going to be picking up another Cy Young. What is that, his fourth? That would be his fourth, I think. The question is going to be, can guys like Alex Wood, Rich Hill, Brandon McCarthy, can they keep up the solid play we've been seeing when things get tight? And remember, the one thing that Los Angeles struggled with last year, they couldn't hit left-handed pitching. Yeah, that seems to have kind of gotten better, considering right now, the Dodgers are leading the National League in home runs off of left-handed pitchers. Again, you're kind of looking for flaws, like, yeah, good looking, but oh no, they've got that too. No, the Dodgers are legit. I'll throw out a few contenders over in the NL, though. I know it sounds crazy, and you can say that I'm nuts, and I don't know baseball, and I understand all that. But the Arizona Diamondbacks have pitching. If you want pitching, that's what they have. Zach Greinke, Robbie Ray, Zach Godley, they've all got sub-3.0 ERAs. This team has already overcome some big injuries. Paul Goldschmidt has to be in the conversation as an MVP candidate. I know it's kind of nuts, but I'll throw Arizona out there. And I got one more team I'm going to put in here as a contender. And it pains me to do this because there's too many things that say don't. I'll put them on here, but even I'm starting to doubt them. The Chicago Cubs suffering from a tremendous case of champion hangover, and their pitching has gotten progressively worse as the season has worn on. It doesn't seem like they can win three games in a row. They can win one. Sometimes they can win two. They can never win three. They just can't get consistent. Now, they did make the trade with the White Sox to get Jose Quintana, and that could help their pitching staff. I think they gave up a little too much for him. They had some good young prospects that they gave up for him. It's just that this team is so talented. The Chicago Cubs, they've got to have a run in there somewhere, don't they? And if they do get going, you have to like them down the stretch. Can they find just a tiny bit of that 2016 mojo? If so, I think the Cubs get back in the playoff race, and I think come postseason, they might still be a very, very big contender in the National League. Okay, I'm switching to pretenders. And again, it might not be popular. And it probably isn't fair, but I'm going to put the Washington Nationals in that pretender category. Yes, they have over 55 wins. And the middle of that batting order is pretty tough. You got Bryce Harper, you got Ryan Zimmerman, Daniel Murphy and Anthony Rendon, they're coming up to bat. Well, they're coming up to bat if they're ever healthy at the same time, which is rare. You've got Max Scherzer. You've got Steven Strasburg. They are as lethal a 1-2 punch as any starting tandem in the game. Here's the problem for the Nationals, besides the fact that they live in Washington, D.C. And we know that D.C. seems to have a curse floating around as far as championships go right now. The Nats play in an awful division. The Braves are the next team back, and they're like double digits behind. So the Nationals are playing with no pressure whatsoever. Oh, and then there's one more thing. That pesky bullpen. Nationals relievers are a complete and utter disaster. They rank near the top, not in good statistics, but in blown saves, and they're completely incapable of just consistently throwing strikes. That will be a recipe for disaster as we come down the stretch. Sorry. The Washington Nationals need to make a big move by that July 31st trade deadline, or make it after. It doesn't really matter. Does the trade deadline really mean anything? I mean, it's pretty much meaningless in all sports, isn't it? Like, you sit there and say, here's the deadline, no more trades, and then like a month later you're like, and now a big trade. I know we have the trade deadline and everybody talks about it, but I don't really see that really mattering. Anyways, the Nationals need to do something. They need to make some sort of a trade to beef up that bullpen. If not, they're definitely a pretender. Okay, I'll throw out a couple more pretenders over on the Nationals side, and I have to give the Colorado Rockies a little credit. They're not horrible. And that, in and of itself, is actually pretty incredible. The funny thing about Colorado is that you think of Colorado and you immediately think one thing, don't you? They play in Colorado, it's a launching pad. Understandably so. Yet this team really hasn't hit its stride offensively. It doesn't seem like everyone is playing well at the same time. Charlie Blackmon, he's been incredible. Carlos Gonzalez, been very average. Now, Ian Desmond is coming off of an injury. You would think that would help. But here's the problem down the stretch for Colorado. And if you don't live in Colorado, you might not be familiar with this. But with the thin air that we have here, the ball, when you pitch it, doesn't break as much. You have to work so much harder to pitch at altitude. And this group of pitchers has actually been excellent. They've won a lot of games in May and in June. Unfortunately, like we just talked about, May and June don't really matter all that much in the great scheme of things in Major League Baseball. So can they continue to pitch that well when this home stadium in Colorado is so unforgiving, so demanding? The odds say no. The Rockies are going to have to get very, very creative with their pitching staff. They're going to be, I don't know, having to shuffle people around, using starters in relief, something. And doing that, while that may work temporarily, it wears you down for future starts. I don't like Colorado's chances down the stretch. What? I'll let you get back in your seat. I know that you're shocked that I don't like Colorado's chances as we get down the stretch. That's just kind of how they are, isn't it? We started off great in May and June, though, didn't we? All right, I'll give you one more pretender. Last pretender here, the Milwaukee Brewers. I like the way the Brewers have started this year. But they are Milwaukee. Did you really think I was going to say they're a contender? Come on. You know me better than that. Stay in your lane, Milwaukee. Schedule's about to get tougher. You'll collapse down the stretch, and you'll probably let the Chicago Cubs get into the postseason. Hey, Milwaukee, you do you. You do you. Best player over on the Nationals side. I know there are going to be some people that are going to say it's Cody Bellinger, and I completely understand that sentiment. I will say that it is still Washington Nationals right fielder Bryce Harper. He's getting overlooked because Mike Trout is coming back, even though the Angels have actually bizarrely played better without him in the lineup. And of course, rookies Aaron Judge, Cody Bellinger, like I said, are playing out of their minds, but Bryce Harper is still the best player in this league. He's batting .327. He's got 22 home runs. He has a .604 slugging percentage. You know, baseball is finally getting to a point where it's actually starting to get interesting. And the balls are just flying out of stadiums left and right. We have some storylines to watch as we finish out the summer and we get into crunch time. Major League Baseball starts to get more and more interesting. Hey, coming back, who were the winners and losers in NBA free agency, and what NFL teams have got themselves a quarterback controversy? Plus, our Daily Dose Top 5 makes a summer appearance. You know you have to stick around for that.
Hi, guys. It's Kim from Round Trip, the travel podcast where we share our stories and travel experiences. You can listen to Round Trip at rogueintel.com.
I say, boy, every time I gotta go get new boxing gloves for that daggone chicken hawk, I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon. And I get him the bestest boxing gloves that Amazon can buy. Look at that, he's hitting that dog. That is the dumbest dog I've ever seen.
Movies, anime, comics, video games, and pop culture. These are but mere playthings for the manliest beings in all of podcasting history, the powerful Nerdcast. Hosted by the gurus of geekdom, Corey and Christian, join them each week to discuss all things nerd culture, everything from Star Wars to Dragon Ball Z, and everything in between. Find the powerful Nerdcast on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network at rogueintel.com.
Of course, the NBA draft is now over and free agency is winding down. But which teams in the NBA actually got better? Which teams took a step back? You know, the cap spending spree that we saw last year, it's pretty much over. Money's a little bit tighter. Next year, I think it's going to get even tighter than it is now. And yet, there are still teams out there wheeling and dealing, making deals, and probably spending more than they should. Let's take a look at a few of the winners and losers in NBA free agency, at least so far. And I know there's still a couple players out there being talked about. We'll see if anything comes from it. I'm going to give a winner to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They were able to go grab Paul George. And don't be so fast to say he's just going to leave next year. I know there's speculation. With that expiring contract, Oklahoma City, you're kind of on the clock. You've got to kind of get him convinced to stay there in Oklahoma. He might be headed to the Lakers. Here's the question that I have for you, though. Why did Paul George leave? Why did he leave Indiana? He left because he wanted help. He felt like he was never going to win, right? Who's going to help you win? Russell Westbrook or that really, really young, albeit talented nucleus out in Los Angeles? I'm sorry, but I think I'd rather have Russell Westbrook and some of those pieces in Oklahoma. I like what Billy Donovan has done there. Yes, I'd like to see Westbrook pass it a few more times, but I kind of like where Oklahoma City is at compared to having to go out to LA and completely build this team up from basically nothing. Like I said, young and talented, they're nowhere near contender status. In fact, I'll go so far as to say the Los Angeles Lakers might be this year, could be the worst team in the West. Where would you rather be if you're Paul George? Now, unless they land like a LeBron James or something, Paul George may not go to LA. He may just end up staying in Oklahoma City. And they got him for basically nothing. They got him for Victor Oladipo. Indiana, you couldn't get more than that. If George and Russell Westbrook leave, then, I mean, Oklahoma City, you're not on the hook for any money. Then you can just tank and rebuild. From that standpoint, I think Oklahoma City got what they wanted. They got someone that allows them to compete this next year. I'm going to give a loser to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Do you realize that their biggest move was re-signing Kyle Korver, the real-life Billy Horton?
Four in a row. You know something? This is like the luck of the Irish, really. I'm not Irish, so you figure it out. I don't know.
Yeah. Come on.
Kyle Korver doesn't look like a player. Like, if you were picking teams at the rec center, you wouldn't pick Kyle Korver. He's got the hair. He's got the socks. He needs, like, a headband to just complete his look. The weird thing to me about Cleveland not signing anyone in free agency is twofold. Because either people don't want to go there because they don't trust that ownership situation, or LeBron isn't really recruiting anyone to come there. Now, why would LeBron not be recruiting anybody? We haven't heard him chasing people this year. We've heard about that in the past. Haven't heard about that at all this year. Why could that be? Unless maybe he's not planning on staying there much longer. I don't know. I'm going to give a winner to the Boston Celtics. The Celtics have been standing pat for so long. I was starting to wonder if they would ever make a move. They were finally able to go get Gordon Hayward, which immediately improves their crappy shooting and gives them just a bona fide scorer. He teams up with Isaiah Thomas, with Al Horford. That might have been enough to make them a winner on my list. But then they went and traded Avery Bradley, who I like, to Detroit for Marcus Morris. Now, Morris is not the same type of player as Bradley. He could give them some inside defensive presence, which they have not had. When you look at how Boston has failed, especially against Cleveland, Cleveland has pounded them in the paint. I like Avery Bradley, but you had to do something, and the Celtics did something. So I'm going to give them a winner for that. I'm going to give a loser to whoever designed the current all-NBA system. Here's the crazy thing. Something I want you listeners to think about. The NBA votes for its all-NBA teams, right? They vote two guards, two forwards, a center. Who still plays center in today's NBA? Name one center in the NBA, like Dwight Howard, Brooke Lopez, I don't know. Why are we still voting for all NBA teams this way? Why wouldn't you just vote for the top five players? And it may not seem like a big deal, but see, it actually is. See, the all NBA teams determine eligibility for the designated player exception, which means that a franchise can give more money to a player that becomes a free agent to stay with his current team if he was on the all NBA team. You know, players like, say, Paul George or Gordon Hayward. Because, see, neither of them were named to the All-NBA team because neither of them plays center. So Rudy Gobert and DeAndre Jordan were voted to the All-NBA team instead. Would you really take either one of those players over George or Hayward right now? Probably not. So sorry, Indiana. Sorry, Utah. Your teams are probably going to suck for a while now because some idiots in a boardroom thought this sounded like a good idea at the time. Hey, oops, our bad. Sorry, small market teams. Guess we didn't think that all the way through. You know what? That's on us. Sorry about that. I'm going to give a winner to the Golden State Warriors. They managed to re-sign their own. They kept Andre Iguodala. They re-upped Steph Curry to a huge contract. They signed Kevin Durant to another big contract. They kept pretty much everyone that they wanted to. They also went and got Swaggy P. Nick Young, who, as bizarre of a guy as he is, can actually shoot it when he's not acting like an idiot. But here's the thing that's more important for Golden State and why Golden State is a winner. Yes, they kept their own. Good job. That's kind of what you're supposed to do, especially when you're the champs. But here's what's more important. No one else really stepped up and constructed their own super team to challenge the Warriors. Who's the team right now that's going to challenge the Warriors? Cleveland? Well, I mean, they did get Kyle Korver back. Who else? Paul George, Chris Paul, Carmelo, Gordon Hayward, all these guys, everyone was talking about, well, maybe they'll all go to Cleveland, or maybe they'll all go to Houston, maybe they'll all go to the same place. No, they all went their separate directions. So once again, the Warriors are just sitting pretty for next year, and they're going to be stacked again. The Golden State Warriors probably going to win another title, and here's the weird thing. Oh, and it pains me to say this. Swaggy P might get a championship ring. Oh. I know. What can you do? Probably going to happen. I guess we better warm up to it. I'm going to give a loser to those San Antonio Spurs. They just haven't done anything. You know, we're so used to the Spurs going out, adding a solid veteran that you can just totally see playing a valuable role. This year, they re-signed Patty Mills. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's good. And they got older. And sure, Kawhi Leonard is the best two-way player in the game today. But he needed some help, and the Spurs didn't get him any help. I mean, they did get Rudy Gay, and that would be a huge move if this was 2008, and we didn't already realize that Rudy Gay doesn't seem to be the best guy for team chemistry. Anywhere he's gone, it hasn't always gone that well. Yeah, so adding Rudy Gay, not really so much of a help. Sorry, San Antonio, you got a loser. Go take care of Kawhi Leonard, give him some help. I'm going to give a winner, of course. Another team in Texas. Got to give a win to the Houston Rockets. You know, grabbing Chris Paul changes a few things for Houston in a positive direction. And I understand the big talk now. Well, there's only one basketball. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it because there's only one basketball. Remember, more good players always better than less good players. But here's the thing about grabbing Chris Paul. Not only do they get better defensively when Chris Paul is on the floor because he is a tough defender, but they also get a few less turnovers than when James Harden had to do everything at the point. Also, the Rockets were able to grab PJ Tucker, who can play either the 3 or the 4, and he actually gives Houston, I know, this is going to shock you, a little bit of defense. What? They got better defensively. You know, Tucker was wanted very much by Chris Paul, so the Rockets were smart to go get him. Now, if they can just kind of stay that course, and when I say stay the course, what I mean is, you know, avoiding Carmelo Anthony. Now, this team could be really fun to watch. If Carmelo goes to the Rockets, and I could see a place for him in that offense, although he has not always clicked with Mike D'Antoni. We remember what happened before. Him and Mike D'Antoni didn't exactly get along that well. But if Melo does end up in Houston, and now the Knicks are kind of acting like, well, we're not sure if we're going to make that deal or not, and I understand that. You could wait till the trade deadline and do something then. If Melo ends up with the Rockets, and they were to use Melo as a guy that comes off the bench, almost like a Vinnie Johnson, we're going to bring you off the bench, and we're going to see if you're hot. Oh, you're not hitting that well. Okay, go right back out. Because you can't really contribute in any other way. It's not like you're that great of a rebounder, and you certainly aren't going to play any defense. So we'll bring you off the bench, you know, heat check. Getting any shots down tonight? Yeah, he's doing okay. Leave him in for a few minutes. Okay, get him back out. Then I could see that working. Otherwise, Melo would go to Houston and just play the role of the ball stopper. That is exactly what Houston doesn't need. I'll give them a winner for now, and we'll see what they end up doing with Carmelo. Speaking of the New York Knicks, gotta hand out another loser. The New York Knicks finally got rid of Phil Jackson. So that's gonna fix everything, right? No. No, it isn't. Not at all. The Knicks went out and signed Scott Perry to be their new general manager. I said Scott Perry, not Steve Perry. That's Scott. What you just played was Steve. Don't play Steve. We're talking about Scott here. Now, if you don't know Scott Perry... I just said, it's not Steve Perry. That's the guy that sang for Journey and wore the weird outfit. That's not who I'm talking about. Scott Perry was the guy that was running the Sacramento Kings, who suddenly kind of looked to be on the right track. But here's the first move we've seen the Knicks make so far. The New York Knicks have offered Tim Hardaway Jr. a 4-year, $71 million deal. $71 million? For Tim Hardaway Jr.? Remember that the Knicks already traded Hardaway away once for Jerry and Grant. Now you want to bring him back for $71 million. Wow. The Cleveland Browns think the New York Knicks are dysfunctional. Just think about that for a second. I'm going to give a winner to Dion Waiters. The Miami Heat may have struck out on Gordon Hayward. We know they wanted him. But they did give Dion Waiters a 4-year, $52 million deal. And that's sort of the same, isn't it?
Craig.
What's up?
Are you high?
No, it's not. Not at all. But good for Dion Waiters, because he's getting big money. Despite not really being a big money guy. So good for you, Dion Waiters. Nice job. And I'm going to give our final loser to the NBA Eastern Conference. Okay, the NBA Eastern Conference has been awful for years. It just got significantly worse. Okay, real quick, Daily Dose listener, we're going to play a little game. Yeah, go ahead and play the music. Let's name the All-Stars in the NBA East. Are you ready? All right, let's see. Kyrie. LeBron James. Giannis, he's got to be in there. Isaiah Thomas. Oh, man, I'm... John Wall? I can't name anyone else. There's no one else over there, is there? Last All-Star over in the East. Make sure you turn the lights out when you leave. That conference is absolutely embarrassing. Now, real quick, before we move over to the NFL and some of the NFL quarterback controversies. Just briefly, there are a few young players in the NBA Summer League that are kind of getting my attention. And when... did the NBA Summer League like become a thing? I mean, congrats to the NBA for getting me to care about it after the season is over, because I literally never have before. And this year, and I know we don't have the Olympics, we don't have any World Cup, we don't have anything right now. We have baseball and that's it. And this year, I'm like turning on the TV and I'm like, Dallas is playing Sacramento in Summer League? Clear my schedule. I'm not going anywhere tonight. I mean, there are a few players that are kind of impressive. Jason Tatum in Boston. Kid can just flat out score. Dude already seems to have that straight leg Dirk Nowitzki turnaround down pat. Really like what he does. Lonzo Ball, for all the talk about dad, and I realize that the Lakers probably still going to struggle a little bit this year. I like watching Lonzo Ball play. Excellent court vision. He just sees the floor so well. He's such an accurate passer. I realize in his first couple years, he'll probably turn it over way too much because that's just what young point guards do. But man, he looks like he's going to be fun to watch. And if he can shoot it just a little and learn to play a little defense, no, Lonzo Ball's going to be very, very good. Dennis Smith in Dallas is just a jet. You want an explosive guy. And if you haven't seen him play yet in Dallas, I would encourage you, go check out, again, I can't believe I'm saying this, go check out a Dallas summer game. Kind of weird. Donovan Mitchell with Utah. He's a highlight film. That dude is just explosive. Josh Jackson, he's looked very solid down with Phoenix. I realize that we are watching, I guess, the equivalent of NFL preseason games. They don't really matter. The competition is not that good. You can't tell, well, are they doing it against NBA starters? No, of course they're not. Of course they're not. But they're still really fun to watch. There's still some good players to watch. And it's all kind of about perspective, isn't it? Yes, I realize that you're playing maybe against some lesser players, but you also have some lesser players on your team. No, I got to give the NBA a little bit of credit. The Summer League is actually kind of fun to watch, and there are some players that are standing out. Yes, it probably won't hold up one bit once we get to the regular season, but you can see a few bright spots for some of these young guys. Kind of need to see. Okay, the NFL is coming, and I mean the NFL is coming quickly. Training camps are starting up in just a matter of weeks. And of course, we'll be looking forward to a number of things in the NFL over the next few weeks, month, whatever. But one thing that we need to look at right now is the fact that there are a number of teams that do not have a bona fide starting quarterback. Here are a few teams that have some big decisions to make and who we think will end up winning the starting quarterback job. Here are some teams that have a quarterback controversy on their hands. Gonna play that every time, huh? Okay, first team up. Gotta be the Chicago Bears. The Bears finally got rid of Jay Cutler and went out and signed veteran backup Mike Glennon to a 3-year deal worth $45 million. Okay, cool. I get it. Hey, they like Glennon. They feel that he has at least enough potential. Bring him in. Maybe he's gonna be the guy. And then they spent a ton in picks to move up one spot in the draft and grab Mitchell Trubisky. Hey, like it or not, Mike Glennon's days are numbered. The problem is that Glennon isn't that polished to begin with, and the Bears overspent on getting him to begin with. Now, I'm not sold completely on Mitchell Trubisky. We just haven't seen enough of him. He might be the guy. I don't know. I've only seen him play in a few games in the ACC. How much could we really get from that? But let's be honest. The bar isn't going to be that high, is it? I mean, who are you comparing him to? Jay Cutler? Mike Glennon? So I don't know if Mitchell Trubisky is going to be the day one starter. I doubt it. But I'll bet you this. I'll bet he's playing by Halloween. And I'll also bet that when he does play, it probably doesn't go that well. Because Chicago just has too many issues. And John Fox is probably on his way out, and they're going to have to go get a new coach and a new offense and a new coordinator and all the things that go with that. So I'm going to say Glennon wins the job on day one. Trubisky is playing by Halloween, and it all goes ugly because that's just how things are going to go for Chicago. Our next team that's got themselves a quarterback controversy is the Kansas City Chiefs. What? Oh, I know, Kansas City. I know what you're saying, and I understand. This is ridiculous. You're just a Chiefs hater. There is no quarterback controversy in Kansas City whatsoever. I know. Alex Smith is the guy, and there is no room whatsoever for discussion. Well, except that there is. Because you drafted a new quarterback with your first round pick in the most recent NFL draft. And he actually totally fits what head coach Andy Reid would like to do. And you know what else? He's going to look really sexy on the sideline. He's going to look really appealing over there, especially when Alex Smith has one of those typical 130-yard passing games and you're losing at home by 3 to the Chargers. And then the Boo Birds at Arrowhead are going to come out. And, you know, what if Smith just plays a little worse? And if that happens and Smith struggles, hey, all bets are off. All bets are off. You can act like there is no quarterback controversy brewing in Kansas City until there is one, and one may be coming. Might happen. Our next team, gotta be the Cleveland Browns. So let's see, Cleveland Browns, I'm trying to think of who they have at quarterback. They've got Brock Osweiler. They drafted DeShone Kizer. They have maybe Cody Kessler, Bernie Kosar, I don't know. You know, and you can say that Bernie Kosar doesn't belong on this list if you want. I maintain right now, currently, Bernie Kosar is better than anyone else on this list. And I don't mean back in his prime, like in the late 80s. I'm not talking about that. I mean right now. Hey, the Cleveland Browns look like they could actually be on the right track. They drafted Myles Garrett. They picked up Jabril Peppers. They should be better on the offensive and defensive lines. And head coach Hugh Jackson has improved some quarterbacks in his coaching career. Can he make any of these guys respectable? Probably not right away. It will not surprise me to see Brock Osweiler actually win the job for the first few weeks just because he has an experience of going through a system, of learning an offense. And it also won't surprise me to see them go to DeShone Kizer by a week 5 matchup against the New York Jets. Because, I mean, it's the Jets. Who cares? You don't have to bring your A game. So you could bring the rookie in then. So I'm going to say Brock Osweiler wins the job initially, and they end up going to DeShone Kizer by week 5. Okay, let's move over to the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans have Tom Savage or Deshaun Watson. Wait a second. Okay, I got to look this up. Let me check this. Is Tom Savage a real person? Or is he like a fictitious character, like, I don't know, Johnny Utah in Point Break?
Vaya con Dios.
Like, I'm looking through clips and some college history. I have no idea if Tom Savage is a real guy. Okay, here's the test. I'm going to ask you, Daily Dose listener, name one thing you have ever seen Tom Savage do. See? I rest my case. I've seen Deshaun Watson play. He's legit. I'm going to go ahead and go with the rookie because he's not a figment of our imagination. Who is Tom Savage? I know I've heard the name. Like, I've heard people talk about him. He's probably played. I can't name a single time I've seen him play. He's had to have played, hasn't he? I don't know. I don't know if Tom Savage is even a real guy or not. The name sounds good. Tom Savage, like, it sounds like a quarterback. Kind of sounds made up. I'm not sure I'm buying that. I'm going with Deshaun Watson down in Houston. Okay, the Arizona Cardinals have a little bit of a quarterback controversy. Yes, the Cardinals actually currently have 4 quarterbacks on their roster. They've got Carson Palmer. They've got Blaine Gabbert. They've got Drew Stanton. And they've got Trevor Knight. And the thing is, we all know Carson Palmer is old and fragile. He battled a shoulder injury last season, and the Cardinals struggled with him not at his best. They need him to be playing good football. So what I would expect for Arizona is I expect them to play each of these other guys all through training camp and all through the preseason and then award the job to Carson Palmer, because, I mean, it's Blaine Gabbert and Drew Stanton and Trevor Knight. Like, they're all awful. So it's going to be Carson Palmer, but I'm just saying they'll probably keep Carson Palmer out of a lot of preseason stuff and let these other 3 clowns go out there and, you know, hurt themselves instead. What other teams do we have on our list here of quarterback controversy teams? The Los Angeles Rams, yeah. You know, the Rams, they have just 2 quarterbacks on their roster. And the heir apparent, of course, is Jared Goff and then, I don't know, some no-name guy, Sean Mannion. Goff is going to win this job by default because he is the former number 1 draft pick. Now, first-year head coach, 30-year-old Sean McVay, says Goff is the starter for now, but that it could change. That's not going to change. Because even if the no-name backup outplays him, ownership is going to tell McVay who to start. What's McVay going to do? Talk back? He'll get himself grounded. He's not going to do that. All right, so Goff is going to be the guy with the Rams. I don't know if he really is the guy, but he'll be the guy that gets to start. San Francisco. How about the 49ers? Because when you think about the 49ers, Blaine Gabbert is gone. Colin Kaepernick is bad for business. I guess Brian Hoyer looks like he's going to be the favorite. Matt Barkley is there. I guess he'll try to compete. The Niners did draft C.J. Beathard out of Iowa. Okay, did you hear those names? Brian Hoyer, Matt Barkley, and C.J. Beathard. This might be the worst group of quarterbacks we've ever seen in San Francisco. at least since like last year. Okay, the New York Jets. The New York Jets have Christian Hackenberg or Bryce Petty. Is this really a quarterback controversy? We all know the Jets are tanking. They have been selling off anything of value in hopes of drafting USC quarterback Sam Darnold. And they're doing really well at it because, hey, let's call it like it is. This team is going to be bad. I mean really bad. The fact that Christian Hackenberg and Bryce Petty are the leading candidates to start kind of tell us all we need to know, doesn't it? I'm going to go off the board. I'm going to say it's not going to be the one of those guys because I believe Josh McCown is also on that roster. And I'm going to say that the crusty old veteran, Josh McCown, wins the job, but of course he'll be hurt for the entire season by like, let's say week two. Hackenberg will end up with the job. The Jets will win the right to draft Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold will suffer the first of what will be many crushing losses after a stellar college career. Our final team that's got themselves a quarterback controversy. Yes, they're close to home here for me in Colorado. My beloved Denver Broncos have got themselves a quarterback controversy. You know, last year, with Peyton Manning retiring, the Broncos brought in Mark Sanchez, and then they drafted Paxton Lynch. Sanchez would be the starter, of course, right? And then Lynch would eventually take over. I mean, that's how it was all going to go, wasn't it? Except that then two things happen. Sanchez was not very good and threw too many interceptions in the preseason, and Lynch was not even close to being ready. And so some seventh round pick out of Northwestern named Trevor Siemian actually kind of played pretty well at times and won the starting job. But the Denver offense struggled pretty bad. They were pretty horrible in a lot of different areas. Now, head coach Gary Kubiak is gone, and that weird offensive system is gone. So here's the offensive system they were running. We're going to run a lot of play action passes, but we don't have a running game whatsoever, so no one's going to bite on any of the play action. Okay, kind of an interesting plan. So now this year, there are going to be many that want to see what Siemian can do in the new offense under Mike McCoy. Mike McCoy is the new offensive coordinator. He will put in a new offense. Others are going to want to see Paxton Lynch's arm in this offense. Hey, Paxton Lynch, I don't know if he's ready mentally, but he has one of the strongest arms in the NFL. Huge arm. My concern for Paxton Lynch, I'm not sure he has the fundamental mechanics or that he just has a feel for the game. You know, he was never particularly accurate at Memphis. If it hadn't been such a thin quarterback class back in 2016, there is no way Paxton Lynch gets taken in the first round. He is not a first round talent. I think Trevor Siemian will outplay Paxton Lynch. However, I also know how things work. It won't be enough for Siemian to just barely beat out Lynch. It's going to have to be obvious because the ideal thing going into this year would be that Lynch steps up, takes the reins, takes control, and he's the starter. And then the seventh round guy that everyone forgot about, he's the backup. He'd be a little more steady coming in. He'd be the guy you'd want to bring in off the bench. If Paxton Lynch can't beat out the seventh rounder in his second full season, we're starting to throw around that B word, aren't we? And John Elway and the front office starts to look like maybe they took a bust. Having said that, I just think Trevor Siemian is cool under pressure. In a real offense, he'll make it very, very difficult for Paxton Lynch to beat him out. Bottom line is this. I think Trevor Siemian wins the job. I just don't know if they'll give it to him. And the true bottom line, if this team can't develop an offensive line and get a running game, it makes no difference who the quarterback is because neither one of these guys are good enough to do anything on their own. Hey, our Daily Dose Top 5 is coming up next, and you never want to miss that. We have seen some big names move around this season in NBA free agency. Hey, the names we've seen this year aren't even close to some of the big names we have seen move around in past years. I'll let you think about that for a minute. Just a quick reminder, make sure that you head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose and do any shopping that you might need to do right there. Loot Crate, of course, delivers the best in merchandising and collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. And you can go get a crate, a subscription of crates that come every single month, or just order individual items. The July crate is called Animation. It features items from Rick and Morty, Bob's Burgers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Futurama. And they've got any kind of merchandise you can think of over at Loot Crate. This is licensed memorabilia. It's not knockoff stuff. You can always go back and order a past crate if you saw something that you liked, but you just couldn't get to it. And the best part about ordering, when you go to Loot Crate, you place your order. Just type in Daily Dose in the coupon box at checkout. We'll get you 10% off of your order. Now, if you would like to recommend the podcast, and we would appreciate that. Look, we're not out there taking out billboards and putting ads in magazines and stuff to try to publicize the podcast. The way we get heard by more people is by good people like yourself telling someone else to listen. So please let your friends, your family, your coworkers know they can subscribe to the podcast wherever fine podcasts are hosted. Go over to iTunes or anywhere that you find podcasts. If you go over to blogtalkradio.com, they've got every single episode. Now, let's say you want to share the podcast. You don't want to talk to anyone because that's kind of obnoxious. You can just click the share button. You can send your friend or whoever it might be a link to the show, and you don't even have to have a conversation. Sometimes that's easier. And if you have someone, maybe they're not very technically savvy, maybe they don't understand what all this crazy podcast, I don't even know what a podcast is. Maybe you help them out just a little bit and you make it easier for them to listen to the Daily Dose. We would appreciate that so much. Also, make sure that you stop by our podcast network page, rogueintel.com. The Daily Dose is a proud member of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network, and there are a number of other podcasts over there that you're going to like and you're going to listen to every single week. So go check out a few of the other shows that are up over at rogueintel.com. You're going to like what you find. Now, as we do every single week, okay, maybe not every single week during the summer, but most weeks, we have to get to our Daily Dose top five. You know, it seems like every year we have some big name free agents moving around in the NBA, doesn't it? This year, of course, we see Paul George shifting and going over to Oklahoma City. He's been in Indiana for his whole career. We see Gordon Hayward uproots and moves back to Boston. He's going to play for his former coach in college. But I'm not sure any of the guys that have moved around this year are going to be considered all that big as far as the history of the game goes. Because the guys on our list, these are some of the biggest names you've ever heard moving around in free agency. These are guys that moved, and when they moved, they completely changed the look of not only the team, but sometimes even the league when they change teams. Here is our Daily Dose top five most impactful NBA free agent moves of all time. Number five on our list. Five. Got to go back to 1977. You know, the Los Angeles Lakers had won the title back in 1972 with Wilt Chamberlain and Elgin Baylor and Jerry West. But in 1975, that group was pretty much gone. And the Lakers had made a trade for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Immediately, the Lakers were a threat to win it all. In 77, they made a move to help Jabbar out and bring the title back to LA. He had had three really good seasons with the Golden State Warriors, and in 1977, the Los Angeles Lakers managed to sign Jamal Wilkes. And Jamal Wilkes had defense and he had scoring. And the combination completely changed the look of the team because no longer could you just put all of your attention on stopping Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Or just say, okay, Kareem, you might score a ton, but you're going to have to do it by yourself because there's no one else on the floor that can hurt us. Not with Jamal Wilkes on the floor. His defense and his scoring just completely changed how the Lakers could play. And pretty soon, of course, they got Magic Johnson. They got James Worthy. And the Lakers won three titles from 79 to 85 with Jamal Wilkes on that team. Pretty impactful signing. Going and getting Jamal Wilkes completely changed the look of the Lakers back in the late 70s and early 80s. Number four on our list. We know we have a super team now. This was a super team years ago. See, the Philadelphia 76ers were already good. They had gone to the NBA Finals in 1980 and again in 1982 with Julius Erving and Daryl Dawkins. But they had lost both of those finals matchups. So following the 82 season, the Philadelphia 76ers gave Moses Malone a six-year deal and the Houston Rockets couldn't match the deal. So Malone joined the Sixers and that 1983 team has got to be considered one of the all-time great teams in history. And I know they weren't sustained for a long period of time. But that 1983 Philadelphia 76er team was very 85 Chicago Bearish. Because for one season, they were absolutely dominant. Think of some of the players on that team. Maurice Cheeks, distributing the ball, playing defense. Andrew Toney, the Boston Strangler. the shooting, the scoring that Andrew Toney brought. Julius Erving in all the different ways, and I realize he was older by this time, but all the different ways that Julius Erving could hurt you. Bobby Jones and the style of defense that he played. Moses Malone could do it all. That 83 Sixers team was loaded. In the postseason, they lost just one game in the entire postseason. They swept through the NBA Finals. No, Moses Malone going to Philadelphia in 1982, definitely one of the most impactful moves ever. Moving on to number three. You know, the Los Angeles Lakers were in a little bit of a drought, at least for them, because the Lakers hadn't won a championship since 1988. And honestly, in 1996, it seemed like they had kind of been treading water. Yeah, they made it to the finals when Michael beat Magic in 91. That was as close as they got. They'd make the playoffs.
Playoffs?
But they weren't doing much when they got to those playoffs. But in 1996, Jerry West, of course, was the guy that landed a couple of big fish to turn the Lakers around and make them championship contenders again. First, he traded Vlade Divac to Charlotte to select some high school kid named Kobe Bryant. Yeah, and then he convinced Shaquille O'Neal to leave Orlando and go to La La Land. Hey, it only lasted 8 years, and it might actually be remembered more for how it all broke up. But during the time that Shaq and Kobe did play together, they won 3 titles. That's not all bad. But when Shaquille O'Neal went from Orlando to Los Angeles, not only did he change the way the Lakers looked, he changed the way the entire NBA looked. That's impactful. Moving on to number two. And of course, we all remember this one, because it was just last spring that Kevin Durant not only left Oklahoma City, but he went to the rival team that had just knocked the Thunder out of the playoffs. And honestly, we always say it's about the money, it's about the money, it's about the money. And when they say it's not about the money, it's about the money. But honestly, I don't know if it was really about the money, because he could have made more money if he had stayed with the Thunder. But Kevin Durant wanted to win a championship. And he wanted to play with players like the Golden State Warriors have. He went to Golden State. The Warriors were dominant, and they plowed through the NBA postseason. The Warriors are now a super team, thanks to Kevin Durant. And they completely changed the way the NBA looked. That is number two on our list. Moving on to our final entry on our Daily Dose top five most impactful NBA free agent moves of all time. And this one's kind of three parts, really. Because first, in 2010, there was the decision. LeBron James announced in the summer of 2010 that he would be taking his talents to South Beach to join Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade and form a super team. And they would win not one, not two, not three. Well, you can hear it for yourself.
But we also know you three kings came down here to win championships. Not one, championships.
Not two.
LeBron, tell us about that.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven.
Hey, the Miami Heat went to the NBA Finals 4 times. And actually, you know, not one, not two, they actually won just 2 titles. Then, in 2014, LeBron James went back to Cleveland and delivered a championship to Cleveland, something that honestly we didn't think was even scientifically possible. He did it. You have to give LeBron a ton of credit. He brought a championship to Cleveland after returning in 2014. So how is this three-part? Oh yeah, because in 2018, LeBron James announced he was leaving again because he can't stand Cavs owner Dan Gilbert. Okay, it hasn't happened yet, but I think we all know it's about to. And when he does, just like it did in 2010, just like it did in 2014, in 2018, if LeBron James does move, it is going to make whatever team he goes to and the league look pretty different, because it is going to be a very, very impactful move. Hey, next week on the Daily Dose, we're going to do something a little bit different. I've told you before, the summer is a slow time in the world of sports. We don't have Olympics, we don't have World Cup, we don't have any of those things sometimes that spark some interest in sports in the summer. I'm not going to sit here talking nonsense about tennis and golf and baseball and auto racing and things you don't care about. We're going to be doing some different things over the next few weeks. In fact, next week, we are going to start our 50 States tour. Yes, I realize that we have listeners overseas, and I love you listeners overseas. I really do. But we are actually right here in the good old U.S. of A. shooting guns and borrowing money and eating McDonald's like there's no tomorrow. And for a lot of us, there won't be a tomorrow because of, you know, fat and health issues. But somehow, the United States does manage to put out some pretty talented athletes. Next week, we will be taking a look at some of the greatest athletes, the biggest moments, and greatest players to come out of each state in our crazy, bizarre union. You do not want to miss our 50 states tour. Hey, feel free to contact us with what is on your mind by emailing us at dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can find us over on Facebook or Twitter. I have to say thank you to each and every one of you who tune in and listen to the Daily Dose each week. You make the world a better place. I truly do appreciate every single one of you. It means so much that you guys listen every single week. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week for the beginning of our 50 states tour. Have a great week, everybody.